hearts. Amen. Please be seated. The lesson which I read from 2 Chronicles before we began to worship this morning, and the gospel which you heard this morning from the book of Mark, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up onto the mountain and was transfigured before them, where they caught a glimpse, I think just the smallest glimpse, of who this really was. Remember, there are a couple of other encounters in Scripture with Moses and God, with Elijah and God, and it's made clear that if God were to reveal himself fully, that a person could not be present and live, that you would die in the presence of such holiness, die in the presence of that great light and that great power. And so I believe that for these three disciples, in seeing Jesus transfigured, they began to get just the smallest glimpse of who this Messiah was. Peter had just confessed Jesus as Messiah. But even he, I think, until that very moment, thought of the Messiah the way many Jews still do today, as a political champion who will rescue Israel from the oppressors. And now Peter and James and John saw the kingdom of God coming in power as Jesus was transfigured before them. And then the cloud, the same cloud that would not permit the priests to minister in the temple because the presence of God was so great, that same cloud appeared and the disciples were terrified. And out of that cloud came the voice which said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And the same message is true for each of us today. God came down. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. God came down to be with us, to reconcile us to God, we who had turned away. He came down. Psalm 104 begins this way. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment." And in the beginning of the Gospel of John, when it describes the coming of Jesus into the world, it says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." And then in Matthew, in the fourth chapter, after Jesus has spent 40 days in the wilderness and been tempted by Satan, been promised all of the kingdoms of the earth by Satan, if Jesus will only kneel before Satan and accept him as his Lord. And Jesus refuses the temptation to be given everything and sends Satan away. And then Jesus, after he leaves the wilderness and comes back among the people, says these words from Isaiah, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." And from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The kingdom of heaven has come near. God has come in to the world to live among us. And Peter, James, and John saw just a bit of the great light, which is God. 1 John 1:5, it says these words, This is the message we have heard from him, from Jesus, and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the light has come into the world, and the light said, repent. Do not stay in the darkness, but come to the light, which is God. And to do that, you must be holy. And to be holy, you must be forgiven. And you must be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And it is only so washed clean that you can even stand in the presence of God and not die. We are not washed clean by our own deeds, by our own attempts at goodness. We are washed clean by the sacrifice that Jesus made. The one who came to reveal God to us, we killed. We killed him by our sins. You and I, as much as the people present there when he was crucified, we killed him because he died for our sins. But having accepted him, having accepted his sacrifice, having made him Lord in our lives, and having set aside the gods of this world, pride, money, anger, all of the gods of this world, the hundreds of gods of this world, having set those aside and accepted the one true God as our God, we become disciples. He called us to become disciples, a word which means to use and practice in its root, to use and practice our faith, to use and practice what he has commanded us to do, to use and practice his teachings. And then Scripture refers to us, folks. Scripture refers to us, his disciples, as saints. Hagios. In Greek it means holy ones. You know, it was not until the 4th century that the church began looking at heroes of the faith and calling them saints, and somehow setting them apart from the rest of the believers. This is not found in Scripture. In Scripture, all of the disciples, all of the followers of Jesus, all who make him Lord in their lives, are the saints. So if we are his disciples, we are called to be holy ones, called to live lives where we walk away from the darkness and walk toward the light. Colossians 1:11 says, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. The strength we gain is not our own, but it comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. That is, that we are privileged to stand in the light. We are privileged to have him in us, in these temples of the Holy Spirit, that light might be present in us. And then Jesus tells us that when we have accepted Him, when we have repented and walked away from the unfruitful works of darkness, then He tells us we are to be lights in our world. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says to all of us, to all of those who believe in Him, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." To all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And so what Jesus has said Himself is that we are to be light in the world by our character, by our faith and our faithfulness, by our doing of good deeds. We don't gain salvation for doing good deeds, but we do them because we are joyful for the salvation we've been given. And it is by these deeds and by our faithfulness and our faith and our joy that we become as lights on light stands which light up the house for all who are in it. That those who are still in darkness might see in us the light of Christ and might say, "I want to come out of the darkness I'm in and move toward whatever it is that's inside you. The light that is inside you that I see by your character, by the way you live your life, by your joy, by your worship. May I find out what that is? Can you teach me about this?" And then you have the inestimable privilege of sharing Jesus Christ with someone who is in darkness. Ephesians 5:8, "For once you were darkness." This is true for every one of us. You know, not one of us is born saved. Not one of us is born a Christian. Every one of us is born into a dark world, in a world which would consume us with that darkness, would seduce us into that darkness and consume us. We must each accept the Savior to be His disciples and to come out of the darkness. Ephesians 5:8, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." A little child being tested once in church was asked this question, "Who are the saints?" And remembering what he had seen in his church with its stained glass windows, with the saints who were the heroes of the faith, the heroes of the faith, said, "Saints are the people light shines through." Truer words were never spoken. The light, which is Jesus Christ, which is God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, can dwell in each one of our hearts and shine through our lives so that we might touch the lives of others who desperately need, as we desperately needed and need, God in our lives. And so as we worship this day, and as we pray, and as we go out into the world, may we become the people that the light shines through, so that others can be drawn into His kingdom as well, and that the light may shine through them. That is our call. May we be faithful to it. Amen.